I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of baseball, and we're talking a lot of baseball, can I just share with you something real quick? I was sitting there yesterday. Liz was watching Gilmore Girls, as she's wont to do to try to go to sleep. And for whatever reason, I remembered the scene, and I said, it's got to be one of the wildest scenes I've ever seen in the history of me watching movies. And it's the part in Dazed and Confused when O'Banion and the rest of the seniors, with beers, with drinks, go to a Little League baseball game with a beer in one hand and a paddle in the other and heckle Mitch while he's pitching, threatening to paddle him from the stands while he's pitching. And Mitch, in Emmanuel Class A form, locks in and finishes up the game. While his own teammates are like, can you leave through the back gate? Because we don't want to get paddled either. And nobody in this town has any compunction with it whatsoever. Like, they go through the handshake line, and O'Banion's got the paddle, and he's whacking the railing, going, you're going to get yours, yelling at him, and they got beers in one hand, and there's not one Little League coach like, hey, man, they're going to go beat that kid in the parking lot. Like, you guys, should we stop? No, not at all. No, it's the weirdest thing to me. It's awesome. I'm just saying, it's a wild scene.
I don't think I've seen that movie in like 15 years.
Oh, my God. You got to see. When you see it, you're going to go, man, kid's right. It's a Little League game at night. The stands are full. Full.
At a Little League game.
Nice stadium. And nobody at all has any problem with high school kids drinking behind the dugout with paddles in their hand, openly saying they're going to be beating the pitcher after the game. Not a word. Nothing. One of my favorite scenes of baseball. One of my favorite scenes of movies. I had to get that off my chest. I know that's completely out of right field, and you have nothing to say about that. I'm going to move on, but I had to get that one off my chest. Because it's just so wild to me. Anyway, Mitch Kramer got what was coming to him. Daryl Ryder joins us at 8 o'clock. 216-474-0092. Okay, going back to the Guardians. Like, is it speak softly and carry a big stick? We got some commentary here from a Browns wide receiver coming up here in moments. But I want to get to some of these calls on some of these fans about how the Guardians, they win a spot to go to the playoffs. I do think, real quick, and I say this before we go to the phones, I do think part of it where people are excited. They're boisterous. They're excited. They're not talking trash. I think part of it is that there's still more unfinished business. They got three more. The magic number's at three before they actually win the Central Division. And I think a lot of people are holding out for that first round bye for them.
Oh, it's huge. In the postseason. Absolutely huge.
So it's exciting to see it. It's great to make the postseason. But I think some people are holding out for more. And you always want a little bit more to put yourself in a better position for the postseason. I completely understand that. Eric in Strongsville, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Love to be talking baseball in mid-September here. This is awesome.
It's great. Go ahead, Eric.
I think the reason that makes me so excited about this team is also the reason why I'm not, like, getting in people's face, like my brother-in-law's face, who's a Yankees fan, right? And he's from New York, so it's justifiable, at least in this case.
But yeah, not like in Mitch's case.
I think the reason is you got to look at how they won games. They're middle of the pack in differential. You don't get 40-something, 50-something saves if you're Emmanuel Clase if you're blowing teams out all year. So that's part of the reason why I'm so excited is the fact that this team's never out of it. They can win any ball game. They can beat you 1-2. They can beat you 3-1. I think that's part of the reason why, you know, if you're not really beating up on teams, if you don't score a ton of runs, it's a different kind of baseball. It's definitely a different kind of baseball to, you know, if you're going to be really loud and obnoxious and confident about it. And I think the other piece of the puzzle, too, is for the first half of the season when we're playing our best baseball, I think caught a lot of people by surprise. We didn't know if it was for real when people started tuning in. All right, we kind of got into the doldrums. And then if you don't look around the league, if you don't watch, you know, other teams, you don't realize that this second half that we're having is no different than, I mean, Baltimore is going through an awful stretch right now. The Yankees have gone through some awful stretches. But if all you do is watch the Indians, and it's or the Guardians, and it's a regional sport, you don't realize this thing's up for the taking. We're playing the same ball as everybody else, if not better, and we can beat you in any type of ball game.
Well, we have, Eric, you're right. We have Ken Wyman on during Around the AFC North every other week because we have Bob Haney the other week. And Ken tweets a lot about the Orioles games, like, live on. So I get an inkling about how well or how bad the Orioles are doing. And, like, it just snuck up on me the other day. It's like, well, God, they're not good recently. I mean, they're really struggling here. And the Orioles at one point were one of the hottest teams in baseball, or if not the hottest team in baseball. The Astros, I do think, are kind of going under the radar a little bit for some. But because they're the Astros, I think that's going to rear its ugly. And, Eric, thank you for the call. I think that's going to rear its ugly head next week. But when you're watching the Guardians, I think some of the other teams are out of sight, out of mind. So you focus on some of the things that maybe your favorite team isn't doing well, and we don't always realize that other teams are not doing very well in those senses. It sucks that the Yankees are starting to kick at just the right time. I think they lost last night, but I think they're 8-2 or 7-3 in their last 10. It sucks that they're starting to kick here, but for you, you're very well off right now. You're doing well, and again, the bullpen has been great. Bullpens can fluctuate. Starting rotation has really started to even out here and give you some solid outings as you move forward throughout this season. And I think they give me a little bit more confidence moving into the postseason. Jim and Perry, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Jim. Go ahead.
So I'm super pumped about baseball in October. I absolutely love watching the Guardians play. The only thing that I'm worried about is their offense. I mean, it's the only thing that, like, I'm talking myself off the ledge. It's already like they're playing October baseball with, you know, these 2, 3, maybe 4 runs. But I'm not worried about the pitching at all, including the starters, because our pitchers the last 2 weeks, even 3 weeks, have been absolutely phenomenal. But other than that, I mean, let's look at, like, do you think Steven Vogt in the playoffs starts walking, you know, those big hitters like Gunnar Henderson, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto? I mean, that's a question I wanted to ask you originally, is that how do you think his managerial experience is going to change in the postseason?
Well, if we play the Yankees, like, you can walk, you can't walk both of them, can you? Like, it's Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, 2 and 3 in that lineup.
The last time we played them, Ken, they belted back-to-back home runs in 2 straight games in the first inning.
I didn't say pitch to both of them. I said you can't walk both of them, right? I said that, didn't I? Maybe I was saying something different. Jim, you can't walk both of them. So you got to pick one to pitch to, don't you? You're going to put 2 on base? What if they're at the top of the inning?
Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you pitch to? Imagine Ken's the manager of the Guardians right now. Who would you pitch to?
I'm going to cop out. I'm going to say I got to wait to see the match.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matchup first. No, I mean, I got to see the scouting report. That's cop out. That's true.
Postseason baseball, you're pitching to guys. You're not just giving free passes every time up. I mean, they'll be playing catch up in every game.
Might as well walk 3, and that way you have a play at any base.
Yeah. Hey, Gleyber Torres. I mean you're going up, put him on there.
It's the reality. Thank you, Jim. It's reality of postseason. You're going up against guys. I'm hoping Jose Ramirez can catch fire here. You know, there've been kind of the whispers growing louder about Jose in some big moments here. Like, he needs to get going. And I will say, like, the Kwan part of this is making me nervous, because what are they going to do at the top of the order? What is going on? I mean, we've got how many games left in the season? Like, Kwan and that back injury is making me nervous, because to make a World Series run, I always just assumed they would need Kwan to get back to, you know, first half of the season Kwan. Well, if he's injured, you know, you're already throwing a lot at vote to try to handle this lineup. We've seen so many dead spots in this lineup and guys that we talked about over the last 2 days that we don't have faith in.
Well, I think that that's anybody who has that fear. I think it's a bit of a rightful fear, because you never know when a team's going to go, especially a Guardians team over the last 10 years. You don't know when they're going to go bust when it comes to the lineup. I think that you have more boppers than you've had, and some of that is thanks to John Kenzie Noel. But when you don't have Stephen Kwan on, because I thought he was putting more pressure on himself, because the solo home runs started to really get to me during the August stretch when they weren't doing so well. Because you'd give up three, and before it's like, hey, well, you're not out of the game because you have a good offense. Well, part of that offense was Stephen Kwan's getting on, so a home run later by Jose is a two-run homer instead of just a solo shot. And so now even home runs, which are exciting, they just don't seem to be enough. You'd rather have somebody on. Well, Steven can't get on, and I don't know how much faith I have in anybody else, that's going to create a problem for you. And so, yeah, you start to have, hey, we got to win 2-1. Hey, we had to win 1-0, like that sort of thing. Albert Breer was on yesterday. This is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. Talking about the Amari Cooper frustrations. This is yesterday afternoon from Albert Breer.
There was some frustration for him at the end in Dallas, so I think you can certainly keep an eye on it. You know, a lot of times you send a veteran player into a contract year, and, you know, these sorts of things can happen. Like, the player's going to look at it and say, where's the team really at with me? And so I think that all becomes relative to how he plays. So if you can get him going and he's playing well, well, then, like, everybody wins, because then you're getting a good level of production out of the player, and the player is setting himself up to get paid. And, you know, whether or not you wind up renewing the relationship, you know, in February or March, you at least have everybody on the same page. If he isn't playing well, that's where you can have a problem.
Lima, I want to ask you, how big of a problem is Amari Cooper right now, after we hear Albert Breer on the Browns coaches and how they can get Amari Cooper going?
I think it's sort of on the coaches to get him going. And yeah, he's not the only one on offense who's been off to a little bit of a funky start. And, you know, I think, like, you know, you look at, like, the trouble the Browns have had pushing the ball down the field, which, again, can relate to their offensive line issue. I think that's just something you're going to have to keep an eye on. And you hope that, you know, he can get himself out of his rut a little bit and start to play a little bit better. And, you know, then you get, again, into that, like, everyone wins type of situation.
I think it's been an issue the first 2 weeks. I'm not calling it a career for Amari Cooper in Cleveland. Like, he's too good. He's too much of a vet to figure this out. Now, we had seen some numbers, some unverified numbers about his lack of separation that he's created. Kenny, you're the one. You tend to look at those all 22.
I want to see the numbers verified from a source. You read them to me, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you under the bus, but it was some
wasn't me.
Aggregator.
It was somebody else.
I need verified numbers.
But, you know, you watch the tape. Is he not getting
there? I don't pay attention to him. I don't pay hand to God. I pay attention. I've been watching the offensive line. I've been watching James Hudson like a hawk. I've been watching Joe Bitonio because I wanted to get defensive of Joe Bitonio after the first game of the season against Dallas. Like, that's who I've been watching. I take Amari Cooper for granted in a lot of ways, and I think some of this is really overblown. It's not great. He's not started the season off well. But I am not panicking yet with Amari Cooper. I'm just not doing it.
Well, part of it is Jerry Jeudy has come through a little bit here in the early going. I know he hasn't put up monstrous numbers.
But that doesn't affect me.
Jeudy,
well, it makes it maybe a little bit easier in my subconscious, but yeah, it does not affect my confidence in Amari Cooper yet.
Like, if Jeudy doesn't come back and in those scramble drills and Deshaun Watson locate him and connect on some of those balls, now we're really in a code red situation. Now we're like, what do we have to rely on? Because you're not going to have Njoku this week, right? Looks like next week is hopefully the week we get him back. I think that's part of it. Had Jeudy not have stepped up in a big way, I think the criticisms would maybe be, and some of the concern about your targets would be a little bit louder.
I think that some of this stuff, like with the separation and stuff, maybe there are valid numbers to that, but I saw him targeted 9 times against Dallas. He was targeted 8 times against Jacksonville. That's plenty of targets. And the ball that we're all worried about, he was wide ass open when he dropped that ball. There were callers calling in Monday saying he was going in for 6. I didn't think he was going in for 6, but it still would have been a huge gainer and you're in the red zone.
Yeah.
That's why I think that, hey, it's not about losing a step. Everybody loses a step. He's never been the fastest wide receiver out there, not the slowest. But I worry about the drops. I don't even worry about the dropsies. I just think it's a bad start.
Yeah.
It's a bad start, and maybe he is a little bit distracted. Maybe there are some problems there. I mean, Amari Cooper himself spoke about it. Maybe he just needs to get on the same page with Deshaun Watson.
We can always be more intentional. Like, I went out there yesterday. I treated practice like the game. And that's what I'm going to go and do every single day of practice moving forward. Just treating the practice like the game. I can't say I've necessarily been doing that, but, you know, that's what I got to do.
It might take a little bit longer for others. And this is excuse making for Amari Cooper because his status says how good he is over the last couple of years with the Cleveland Browns.
I know some people might hear that and they might bristle and say, well, shouldn't everybody? All right, veterans who have been in the league as long as he is, they don't always do that. I mean, you get guys that just flat out don't even practice. You know,
Miles Garrett has it was nice to hear some accountability there.
Yeah,
I think a guy of his stature, you would expect maybe, not him specifically, but just in that stature going, you know, we'll get it on track. Everything's fine. We'll be okay. You know, just keep hacking at it.
But we all have to recalibrate at times to keep ourselves sharp.
But obviously, the one thing that we are, like Albert Breer said, keeping an eye on, every receiver, they get over the age of 30, you're wondering, when is that drop-off going to be? There are some anomalies and guys like T.O. But for most of them, they start to become really mortal. And we've always looked, there's a reason we look at 30. It's not just because it's a clean-cut number. There's a lot of information, a lot of numbers to suggest that is when you don't have the same expectations for wide receivers. And I'm hoping that's not the case for somebody like Amari.
I want to ask Daryl if he agrees with me. I'm still not worried about Amari Cooper. We'll ask him that at 8. Up next, my son's new nickname, the Hammer.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.